Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my guns,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun.
Recorded 3 August 2012. Howdy, y'all. This is your host, Iron Angel. I want to welcome the folks on the Osprey Network. This is a show we've been doing for a while on Rant Radio. Started back, sometime in the spring, perhaps January, February, but we just got added to the Osprey Network, so I want to say hello to you folks. I'm Iron Angel. I've been a blacksmith for a lot longer than I care to admit to. I've had a lot of weird adventures in my life. Hopefully, some of the stuff we have here you can learn from, adapt, use, misuse, abuse, and do fun things with. The show is basically about... first of all, I should say, this is Rangers A to Z. The show is about everyday solutions to minor emergencies. Going through and dealing with little things like... Just any old possible emergency. The power goes out, you get snowed in, you slid off the road, whatever. You know, there's all kinds of stuff it could be about. This particular episode is actually episode 16, A Thief in the Night. And by A Thief in the Night, it basically deals with a lot of getting around in the dark and dealing with all kinds of stuff. Well, you'll see. We'll get to it. I got some music in the middle of the show and then toward the end again. And yeah, I'm good and confused today because I managed to lose my sheet. I usually have a sheet of information I'm supposed to be reading off from here, so I hit all my points and that kind of stuff, and I've managed to lose it, so it's going to be flying by the seat of our pants yet again. First of all, I want to say this is a free podcast. You're free to distribute it, to download it, share it, burn it to CD, listen to it whenever, hand it out to people on the bus, give it to your dog, give it the finger, do whatever you want with it. If you want to remix it and make dubstep of it, that's fine. I don't care. Have fun. Our main site is rangers.com. That's RNGER5.com. Rangers.com. If you go there, you can find all kinds of video from the other Rangers. They're based out of the UK. Most of the guys there, V, Graffin, Kevin is a Geek, all those guys are doing things like Rangers Radio, and they've got quite a bit of video up and things like that. So go check that out if you get a chance. If you're listening to us on Osprey, you know where that's at. That's Osprey Network, Rant Radio. I'm not sure where else we're being distributed right now, but, you know, possibly you found this on a CD in the bus, and now you're going, what is this crap? So, at any rate, let's, first of all, let's talk about the background music there. This is all stuff that I recorded back in February for the RPM Challenge. That's rpmchallenge.com. It's basically NaNoWriMo for music. Write and record an album of original music in the month of February just because you can, or don't know any better, however that works out. So if you like that kind of stuff, if you like what you're hearing back there, you can find most of it on AloneTone, AloneTone.com. Just look for Iron Angel, you'll find me somewhere. You don't really want to listen to most of that, though. Most of my stuff's kind of boring, so. And I know I'm about as fun to listen to as stereo instructions, so I apologize for that in advance, but hopefully there'll be something here you can actually use. So the inspiration for this episode was a A couple of friends of mine lived in a neighborhood, or still live in a neighborhood, I should say. They're having problems with late-night forced entries of houses. This show really isn't designed to teach you self-defense or anything like that. That's really on your own to learn and understand all the ramifications and all the possible outcomes of. This is basically more proactive. Part of the Rage's philosophy is learn how to take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of your friends. Drawing from the philosophy of Sean Kennedy on Rant Radio, we can't defeat the enemy when we're at each other's throats also comes into this. So, you know, if you don't agree, that's fine. That's cool. You know, you're more than welcome to disagree. That, and if you got a better way of doing things, love to hear them. Love to hear them. Hop on Facebook and find us at Rangers A to Z on Facebook. And I think that's all the links I have to get out of the way that I'm usually forgetting, all that kind of stuff. But, so a friend of mine sent me a message earlier today and said, you know, I've got this neighborhood I'm in. I'm kind of out in the country. I'm in the middle of nowhere. You know, what do I do? And then she sent a message later, you know, now I'm really afraid because the downstairs sliding glass door opened. You know, I called 911, all this kind of stuff. So I talked her through all that, and I'm going to give you guys the same advice I gave her. One, and the first thing is, if you have a sliding glass door, find yourself a good-sized chunk of fairly stout wood. a lot of people use a pine closet rod, but if it's got a pretty big grain line in it, somebody trying to get in the door can force that open. If you can find a hunk of a harder wood, say oak or popple, something like that, that can be cut to length so it drops down into that track, that's an even better choice. Typically, I suggest to somebody they paint that piece of wood whatever color you like, whatever's handy, just because that way the wood doesn't swell up and possibly get stuck in the track. Because it would be just, you know, just my luck that I would, you know, really have to pee and go outside or, you know, something awful like that. And, you know, for whatever reason, I have to get through that door in a heck of a hurry and I can't get the stupid chunk of wood out. So, if you can, make your hunk of wood so it's a little smaller than the track, paint it so it doesn't seize, and put a section of just a square of mouse pad or the foam off a can cooler at either end. Cut your wood a little short so it kind of wedges down in there good and tight, and the foam gives it a little bit of a squish and keeps from chewing up the finish on your sliding glass door. That said, there's a couple other things you can do too. They make a what they call a track lock. And it's a little aluminum mechanism that sits down the track and you thumb screw it down. I don't really recommend them because they're a lot harder to get in and out than just a regular old piece of wood is. And in some cases, the track locks will actually affect the track. If you tighten them down too hard or somebody doesn't realize it's in there and slams the door open, sometimes they'll chew the track up. A lot of the reason they're made is so you can have the door open just a crack to, say, let the dog or cat in or out, but a person can't slide through it. If you want to have a track lock style device, I suggest cutting a second piece of wood shorter so the door can be open, say, 3 or 4 inches, and at that point it butts up against that piece of wood with the foam at each end of it. That particular device alone will help you a great deal. Because sliding glass doors are notoriously difficult to secure. So it's just a good idea to have something like that. If you're going to be gone, drop it, you know, dropping the track. If you're home alone, dropping the track, that kind of thing. Regular doors, a lot of people have a door chain on, but the screws that they use on door chains tend to be really inadequate. A door chain will keep an honest person out, but somebody who's intent on getting in, it's only going to irritate them and not slow them down a whole lot. My doors, I've got 2 big cane bolts, top and bottom, that go down into the frame of the house itself. And the main reason I have the big cane bolts on the doors of my place, I've got really big doors on my place, is in the winter, when the door shrinks slightly, the wind will actually cause the door to unlatch itself and swing open in the middle of winter, which is really exciting. But from a security standpoint, it does help a great deal because it's very difficult to get that door open when you've got a 1-inch diameter piece of hardened steel that goes down 6 inches into the frame of the house in the way. Now, granted, being a blacksmith, I can make whatever kind of weird idea I come up with. They're not that easy to find big ones like that. But you may want a cane bolt for doors in your house to seal it shut. You can't really swing it open like you can with a chain latch. And I prefer top and bottom on the side opposite the hinges if I'm going to install them for somebody as a security measure like that. And I use the longest screws I possibly can. My objective is to try and get those screws into as solid a piece of wood as deeply as I possibly can so that the screw basically has to break. If there's any way at all to do so, typically I would recommend that you are actually bolting completely through the door, but that usually shows on the outside, doesn't look that good, kind of makes a mess. If you're renting, there's no chance the landlord's going to let you do that. So instead, another trick that you can do that a lot of people don't seem to realize is a wedge. The same sort of little hard plastic, rubber, or wooden wedges that you would use to keep a door open could also be used to keep a door from coming open. Typically, a lot of people put it way out at the end, which isn't always the best place to put it. Depending on how your floor is laid out, depending on your carpet, things like that, sometimes putting the wedge two-thirds of the way out the door is actually going to stop the door from being kicked open a lot better. Now, granted, let's hope you're never in this situation. Let's really hope that you never have to use any of this information. Interestingly, as much as the media would like us to be afraid, violent crime rates have gone down in the last 10 years. If you look at the statistical norms of things, most crime rates have gone down in the last 10 years. But there are areas that are seeing rises in crime, and there are certainly areas that have never been really out of the hole when it came to crime, just because of the nature of the socioeconomic status in some of those areas, or the nature of the people in that area. If you happen to live in one of those areas, and moving is not an option, be smart, be proactive. Go through and look at your house and figure out what the easiest ways in and out are. The really big factor you have to take into account is, what do I do in an emergency? Can I get out? A lot of people put bars on their windows. The problem with bars on your windows is, in a fire, you can't get out, your family can't get out. Bars on the windows may not be the best way to go. Instead, obviously, if somebody breaks a window, you're going to hear it if you're home. If you're not home, hopefully a neighbor hears it. Instead, use the same sort of wooden rod trick in the sliding glass door so the window can only be opened a little ways. If the window can only open 3 or 4 inches, you can get a little breeze in. Hopefully you get screens, because if you live where anywhere like I do, there's mosquitoes and all kinds of other flying things that bite you. But you can get a little airflow moving through it, and yet somebody can't get in. All that happens is you set that the rod with the pads at either end in the door, or in the edge of the window frame, not door frame, I'm sorry. I say too much. For you new folks coming in to Osprey, I say too much. Don't try and play a drinking game where you take a shot every time I say because you'll be probably dead on the floor before we get to the first song. I'm trying to fix that. I'm working on that. If I had my sheet, it'd be a little easier, but I still do it way too much. I apologize. Anyway, set that hunk of wood in there with the foam on it. Open the window until it wedges. You might need another small, short chunk on the bottom with foam on the ends of that also to keep the window open. Some windows will stay open, some won't. Depends. That block will keep the window from being able to be forced open. At that point, something has to be broken. A lot of the crimes that have been going on in our area have been crimes of opportunity. Folks will open a door or a window that's not locked, grab and run. In some areas, I know that a friend of mine lives in an area where it's a very different situation. They are encountering specific armed home invasions, and that's a much larger topic we're not really going to cover here in this particular episode. We will down the road. I've got a couple of experts I want to bring in and have them give some advice. I want to do some interviews with them. I want to do some more research. And that said, always cross-check your sources, especially me. If I tell you something like this, look it up on the net and see if it's a good idea or not. A lot of the experience that I'm giving you, a lot of the ideas I'm giving you are from personal experience and the experience of people around me. Where I live may or may not be the same as where you live. I know that when I moved from Michigan out to Arizona, I was very surprised to discover that some of the sliding glass doors in Arizona were built differently than the doors we have up here. Partially due to the nature of the climate, up here is a lot wetter. And I think partially just to where the supplier was coming from. And speaking of those little flying buggers, I have a mosquito chasing me around in here, which is what you're hearing right now is me and the mosquito having a go-around. Really? He's got an armor class. That's absolutely not fair. I hit him like 3 times and he made his saving throw every time. Amazing. Any rate, that was really loud. I'll put a compressor on that because otherwise that'll be really loud. At any rate, block your doors and windows. That will help some. Remove any sort of easy opportunities. Things like overgrown bushes and brush up near a window, that kind of thing. Clear that back. Obviously, if you've got some sort of outside lighting, re-aim it so it points right down the side of your house, along the sides, and toward your driveway, that kind of stuff out front. Optimally, if you have the option to do so, putting a set of motion lights on the corners of your house facing up each side is really your best bet. If that light comes on suddenly, there's something that doesn't belong there out there. It's probably the neighbor's dog crapping in your yard. That happens. Depending on how the motion light's set, it could even be the bushes moving. It could be a bat went really close to the motion light. So motion lights aren't necessarily a be-all and end-all solution to things, but they're certainly helpful. A friend of mine some years ago knew a little bit about electricity. If you don't, you're going to have to find somebody who does. He wired a separate line that came in off from the motion light and turned on a wall receptacle in the room with basically where he always was. It wasn't really a living room. It was sort of a den with his computers and all that kind of stuff. And there were 4 different lights in the room, in the corners of the room, and each one had a radio. And each radio was tuned to a different kind of station. One was classical, one was country, one was a rock station. I can't remember what the other one was. But basically, he knew by sound, he could be in the shower and hear the radio come on and know roughly which light had come on. Because you had those 4 corner light systems that all had a chain circuit coming off them, a side circuit coming off them that came into the house and tripped these lights and radios. And I'm pretty sure you can probably go through and set up some sort of webcam system that would turn on the exact same way. I just don't know enough about the particular technologies involved to suggest how to go about doing that. This is where the search engine is your friend. Get online and see about motion-activated cameras. Some of the stuff out there is really expensive. A lot of the ranger's mindset is finding ways to do things inexpensively. There has to be a way to use basically a motion-activated circuit, a common motion-activated lamp system, to turn on some sort of just cheap web camera. And a lot of cheap web cameras are actually pretty decent image quality, so you can get a pretty good look at what's out there. And if it's set up so it also immediately starts recording to your hard drive, that's even better. Or streaming to the net, for that matter. Not necessarily helpful if you don't have somebody watching it, but... But in most cases, you won't be able to go through and set up 4-corner motion lights that fire down both sides of your house or anything like that. You'll have a couple of motion lights, maybe. And a lot of people will immediately jump on, if you can set up motion lights, you can set up booby traps. No. That's naughty. We don't do that. One, legality is a huge issue. 2, what if it happens to be, say, your kids, your dog, your friend coming over to, come over to hang out and play cards? Not so good. We don't do that. That's not the way we do things. However, this is where things get a little weird. This isn't a booby trap. This is a proactive solution that we actually came up with for playing paintball and airsoft. We were playing in an area in a night game that we had power outlets outside. Neat property. There was kind of a little riser post every 100 feet with a outdoor jack, so you had power and stuff. So you could kind of have like a campground almost, but it didn't have spaces per se. Just a neat place, a lot of fun. And there were, I don't know, 20 of us or so out there. So we were looking at it and we realized, you know, we could plug in a clip light. A buddy of mine is, like I say, was pretty good with electronics and stuff, and he basically built a couple of clip lights that had motion sensors wired into them. So you could plug in clip lights with motion sensors on them on top of these posts, and anybody that got up into that area would trip the trip light, and you kind of knew where somebody was because, one, there was a whole lot of light over there all of a sudden that hadn't been there before, and two, there was a whole lot of screaming because, you know, you didn't really expect there to be a light there. And more often than not, you hear that little click and you look at it and it turns on and now you're blind. So, you know, sometimes there's even a guy staggering around over there. You go over there and light him up with paint a little bit and you get called cheater and stuff a lot. But there wasn't anything against that in the rules. And I know there were some guys that were using flash bulbs and stuff. You know, they were using, there was a lot of guys out there when we were playing that had flashlights on their paintball guns and stuff. But, you know, why not? I mean, it's one of those things that worked really well. And I'm kind of surprised they're not commercially available. I really think every house should have a couple of clip lights anyway. Just in case, you know, you got to get up underneath the sink and figure out what went wrong with the drain or fish your ring out of it or whatever. Having a couple of clip lights isn't a bad thing. And it would make sense to me to have clip lights that were motion sensitive. That you could set like a regular driveway light. So it comes on, stays on for, say, 5 minutes or what have you. Set the sensitivity, all that kind of stuff. Because that way, if you forgot and left it on, say you had it clipped underneath the sink and you went to go get a part, your friend came over, you got talking, you forgot the clip light was on. That way you don't have that extra heat under there, you don't have the possibility of an accidental fire, you're not wasting power. A motion-activated clip light seems to me like a really good idea. And if you're handy, I'm not saying that you should do this if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know anything about electricity, please don't try this. But if you have a friend who's an electrician, see if they can wire up the sensor from a motion sensor, which you can buy separately, into a clip light and build yourself a couple of motion-activated clip lights. If you have some theft problems in your neighborhood, clip them up underneath your rafters, run some extension cords and plug them in. Because all of a sudden, you know, somebody who's coming up to appropriate the gas in your lawnmower gets lit up from a light he's never seen before. He knows that you're watching. He knows that he shouldn't be there. And he will go someplace else. Yes, it'd be nice to catch him. Yes, it'd be nice to get rid of this problem, you know, incarcerate these idiots, or encourage them not to be there. But if nothing else, you can deter them. You know, they might get scared and go home. A lot of thieves are opportunists, and if you don't give them the opportunity, they don't get to steal anything. And hopefully they'll wise up and go, you know what, we're going to do something else. Ouch, that wasn't good. I probably shouldn't have done that. At any rate, there are some other ways to do this. There are some really primitive ways to do this. Again, you'll need to have some wiring ability, clip lights or work lights, that kind of stuff. You set them up. Preferably hidden. All my clip lights, the back edge of the shade is painted black so it doesn't reflect as much, and the front is still bright and shiny. Now, the bright and shiny side certainly is reflective, and you'll see that in the dark if there's a little bit of other light around and that kind of stuff. But the black backside doesn't quite show up as much. And I have to admit, we use our clip lights for a lot of things you wouldn't normally use a clip light for. We actually use them as stage lighting for our band. They don't work horribly. They're not as cool looking as real lights, you know, as normal band lights are and that kind of stuff, but they're certainly a whole lot cheaper. I get clip lights for under $10 a piece, whereas decent stage lights, LED-based stage lights, typically are about $30 a unit. You can get them for less, and generally speaking, stage lights are a little more rugged and roadworthy and stuff, but clip lights are an easy solution if you need them in a hurry. Like I said, they have so many uses around the home that once you've got them, you'll find uses for them. If nothing else, you know, you can put a weird color bulb in them for parties and wash it up the wall or neat things for photographs, all kinds of stuff. You will find uses, trust me. Any rate, if you can wire up a basic relay, you need a relay that will be driven by 9 volts and trip and open and allow mains current, which, depending on where you are, if you're in the U.S., it's 110 volts. If you're in the U.K., it's 240. So obviously, this is not voltage to be played with. If you don't know what you're doing, please don't do this. But if you got an electrician buddy who can do this, you build a relay system, and the circuit that actually closes the relay, that actually trips the trigger, is really stupid simple to build. You need a clothespin, one of the spring-type clothespins, some fish line, some wire, a 9-volt battery, and some way to tie all this stuff off. Usually the fish line works for the clothespin too. What you're going to do is wrap the wire around the mouth of the clothespin. You're going to put something like, say, an old credit card cut up, or a piece of plastic, or a bread tie, or something like that, in between the jaws, so the two little chunks of wire can't touch each other. That wire is going to also be connected to a 9-volt battery, so that when whatever's in there, that little bread tie or what have you is in there, is pulled out, the two wires connect, the 9-volt battery carries current back to the relay and turns on those clip lights for you. The other end of the fish line, you're going to strand across the yard. Now, the main reason you're doing this, as opposed to just strand fish line across the yard to trip the guy, is what we talked about before. Booby traps are a big no-no. Legally speaking, they're a big no-no. Morally speaking, they're a big no-no. And you know, with my luck, I don't know how your luck goes, but with my luck, if I've got a piece of 50-pound test fish line across the backyard, 100% of the time, I'm the person that's going to get tangled up in a trip and fall down. I'll be out there wandering around just after dark trying to remember where I left the weed eater at, trip over that stupid thing, and be face down out in the middle of the flower bed. With that little pull-out switch, I'll just have light all of a sudden, and you don't have a safety issue either. When you're being proactive, you want to look at, you know, just because we are in the age of liability, you have to look at liability. But if you've got a tripwire switch like this, you can move around the tripwire. And unlike a motion sensor, you know exactly where it was tripped from. It might have been a dog, but if it's, say, waist high to a human, it's probably not a dog. There is a possibility a good-sized bird landed on the wire or ran into the wire and pulled it out, but more than likely you've got a person wandering around someplace they don't belong, so you might want to go out there and tell them, hey, get off my lawn, you moron. If you do that, you know, take your phone with you, take a light with you, be safe, be smart. The biggest safety device in the world is the one between your ears, so use that, please. Let's see. We're about halfway through the show, so I need to get to dig around and find some music. Hopefully there's something there already that you found that you can find a use for. The idea of motion-active clip lights, to me, seems like a really good one that has a lot of uses, has a lot of safety potential. Because obviously if you're working, you're moving around and stuff, so they'll stay on. They won't just go off on you. I used to have timer light bulbs, and those stupid things would turn off half the time right when I needed them. Any rate, I'll find some music. We'll throw something up here. I don't know what it's going to be, but we'll come back after the music and tell you what it was.
And my mind is as your eyes, when there's no pain. We'll be right back.
Okay, I'll admit, that was a little schizophrenic in choice. I like both the songs. Both the bands gave me permission to use their stuff, and I want to thank the guys a whole lot for doing that. The first track was Seventh Field, Last Goodbye. They're a band out of Norway, I believe. You can find them on Orvis Records. I don't know how to get them in the States. That might be an import. It might actually be out. I'm not real sure. Do some digging around if you like it. The second band was 8-Ball Grifter out of Lansing, Michigan. I want to thank the guys in the band for letting me use their stuff. I've used that track. That's a tiny bit. I've used that track in a couple of the shows. I really like 8-Ball. They've been broken up for years. If by some weird chance you ever get a chance to see them live, they are really something. So thanks, guys. Thanks a lot for letting me use your stuff. At the end of the show, I'm going to use something from Sumerian's band from Rant Radio. And that band is Porn on Beta. I'm going to use their track Father Figure at the end of the show. So if you want to find that, go to rantmedia.ca and look for Porn on Beta. I think everything they've got is up. Seems like they're working on a new album, but I'm not sure. So anyway, back around to what we were doing. And my compy fan has suddenly decided to turn on really loud, so you'll probably hear that in the background. Anyway, the first half we gave you a bunch of, a few ideas on using different lighting around your house, around your yard. Hopefully it'll scare off any kind of predators and things in the night that might be inclined to be borrowing things they don't necessarily own. The old Mark I dog is not a bad route to go, if you're inclined. Educate yourself about that, obviously. That's a much bigger topic than we have time for here. But, you know, if you've got a family dog that likes to bark at people that don't belong there, that's not a bad thing to have. And, you know, you don't necessarily actually have to have a dog. A clever person with some creative wiring could use a motion sensor, say, inside your garage, for example, or someplace inside your house, and a speaker system with a recording of a dog somewhere else in the house, so that when someone doesn't belong there, happens to find their way into someplace they don't need to be, suddenly there's a very large, very loud dog barking not too far away. And that might be an inclination for them to go someplace else. Now, I'm not necessarily saying it will work, but I'm saying it's a possibility. They might steal your electronic barking dog too, but, you know, hopefully it works. Let's see. Other entries, garage doors. A lot of people have garage doors that lead into their houses. Quite often they don't think about locking the internal door or can't lock the internal door. A lot of garage doors are really pretty vulnerable. It wouldn't be a bad idea to check your garage door, make sure it runs in the track good, make sure it actually stays down like it's supposed to, things like that. Install a couple of either hasps, regular padlock hasps on either side of the door so you can padlock it from the inside when you're not going to be using it for a while, or a couple of big cane bolts, either one attached right to the face of the door so that way they can connect directly into the frame of the building. Sure makes getting that door open from the outside when you're not supposed to be opening that door a lot harder. Obviously, if you're going to open the garage door and come back in with your car or something later on, it's a lot trickier. If it's raining or something like that, you're going to have to get out and go in there and unlatch it and unlock it, what have you, open the door up, that kind of stuff. It makes it a little more difficult to use, but a lot of folks have the garages and sort of use it as a storage for, you know, their lawnmower, their lawn furniture, things like that, and don't actually put the car in there. Obviously, if your car's outside, you want to lock it, things like that. Even in a good neighborhood, it's not a bad idea. It simply, if nothing else, removes temptation. In some cases, around here where I live, we have a couple of teenage kids that end up getting themselves into trouble on a dare. And the mosquito was back. Ah! This is going to be a running fight all through this show, I'm sure. Ooh, he left a gooey spot. So it was a she, because only females bite. Sorry about that. I probably should have edited that out, but, you know, sometimes that's the comedy aspect of the show, is me chasing something like this. At any rate, taking that temptation away from them prevents them from daring each other to go, you know, hey, I dare you to go down there and swipe something out of the scary guy's car, you know, that kind of stuff. Having the door locked certainly makes it more challenging. Now, granted, I have a bad habit of locking my keys in the car, which is why I have a spare key on the ring that I carry on my person. I've got a set of keys with a carabiner clip attached to the ring so I can clip it right to my belt. It's always with me, because otherwise I will lose my keys. If you're anything like I am, a long lanyard attached is not a half-bad idea either. At the end of the lanyard, some sort of a good-sized device, you know, a compass or something like that, that you can drop into your pocket, kind of like a pocket watch. And that way you can also use it for all kinds of handy stuff. A 3-foot length of paracord looped around, for example, comes in handy for all kinds of things. We were moving some lawn furniture on top of the car, and the bungee cords we had were just barely too short, like 4 inches too short. I took that loop of paracord and doubled it up, and I was able to hook that and tie it off to the roof rack and move stuff. So you never know when it's going to come in handy. And you've always got it with your person, so, you know, that helps. Once you get your garage door secure, once you've got your sliding glass door secure, you've got your regular house locks, you got your windows secure, start looking at the rest of your house. The biggest problem that comes in once you secure your house particularly well is you can't get in either if you screw up and either leave your keys or forget your keys. That is one of those cases where you're going to have an external key. A lot of people will put it in, you know, they'll hide underneath the floor mat or something like that. Really not a good idea because everybody does that. If somebody is there with nefarious purposes in mind, they may look underneath your floor mat. I'm a jerk. I have a key under my floor mat that doesn't go to anything I own. I found it on the street one day, and that's the key I put underneath my floor mat. Good luck with that one, Bucky. Yes, they might get it stuck in one of my padlocks and break it off, and I'll be annoyed and that kind of stuff, but you know what? They're not getting in. I won't tell you where my key is, but I will tell you there's a bunch of places you can hide keys that most people wouldn't think of. If you've got an outside shed or something like that, maybe put it up inside the shed somewhere. Obviously not in plain sight. It needs to be a spot that you can reach up into that isn't visibly available. Obviously, if you're afraid of spiders, that's maybe not the place to put it because you might have something crawly up in there. Look around your yard, see what you can find. If you live in an apartment, you're going to have to come up with some other place to hide an external key. I just recommend having a spare key on your person at all times. It's just easier. In some cases, when I've been going out, this sounds just bizarre, but it works. I was going to a wedding. I couldn't carry my normal ring of keys because it just looks stupid. So I took my extra house key and my extra car key, took them off the rings, pulled up the little rubber insole in my shoe and put them underneath the insole of my shoe so I was standing on my keys. That allowed me to have them available should I screw up, and sure enough, I locked my keys in the car that day. Because some days you just, you know, you gotta do something stupid like that, so why not? But I had a spare key, it wasn't any big deal. Got into the car with no difficulties whatsoever. Sure was a whole lot easier than trying to fish in there with a coat hanger or breaking a window or something awful like that. Part of the whole range of philosophy is, you know, learning how to do things so you can save yourself money, improve your life, improve the lives of the people around you. And I'll tell you what, having a window replaced is pretty danged expensive. So, you know, let's not do that. It's not a bad idea to give a friend a key either. Say your next door neighbor, your neighbor across the street, what have you. Somebody you trust, obviously. Somebody who's not going to go in and fill your entire house with post-it notes and balloons or something silly like that. Because my friends would do that kind of thing. And I know some of you are listening, and I know you've thought about it. And I could name you by name, but I'm not going to. I'll give you a break there. But if you've got a neighbor or somebody like that, that way if you get stuck overnight someplace else, you can have them go in and water the dog or what have you. You know, or if you're, say you're away on business, you've got a key at the neighbor's house, you discover, oh, geez, I left my laptop sitting back there, you know, or something like that. You know, they can go in, grab your laptop, email you the file you need for the presentation, that kind of thing. It's just a good backup plan. It's not a bad thing at all. Obviously, you know, in this day and age, everybody has their cell phone. They pretty much exist with their cell phones. it's really not a bad idea to have in your cell phone neighbor as the first word before their name. That way, should something happen to you, if the ambulance crew comes up on you and you're in a car accident or something like that, you could get blindsided by a truck or what have you, car comes out of nowhere and slams into you, that kind of thing, they can call and say, you know, your neighbor's been in a car accident. That way, if anything needs to be dealt with, it can be. You should have in your phone ICE, in case of emergency, ICE, and the first person to contact, be it your spouse, be it your mom, you know, who have you. That way you've got an emergency contact readily available. Some phones have that built in. That's the first thing on the top of the list is in case of emergency. Just not a bad thing to have. If you have a cell phone case, like an OtterBox cell phone case or something like that, a lot of those cases have enough room in the back of them to put a pair of spare keys in the back of your cell phone. If you don't lose your cell phone, it's fantastic because you now have them with you. They're in a convenient location that hopefully you're not going to lose. If you do lose them, you're in a great deal of trouble because now they have a pretty good guess of who you are. They can probably figure out where you live from the information in your phone. And they have your key. So if you should lose your phone and it has the keys in there with it, change your locks. If that's not an immediate option, somebody needs to be at that house 24/7 until you get the locks changed just because. Just, you know, one of those. It might sound paranoid, but, you know, sometimes it's not. It sounds paranoid, but it's actually just a preemptive thing that prevents. It prevents temptation. It's what it does. If you've got a rough neighborhood or something like that, it doesn't hurt to get to know your neighbors. Know who's around you. Have a block party. Even if you don't have a rough neighborhood, if you have a really nice neighborhood, have a block party. Get to know everybody. Get to know who lives behind you. Get to know who lives. Anymore, we're so isolated. You're probably sitting someplace in front of a computer right now, away from everybody else. And there's a good chance that most of your friends you talk to through chat, either Facebook or IRC or something like that. Or a number of your friends, anyway, you talk to through that. I've got friends all over the world. That's how I became one of the Rangers, is I got on IRC, Internet Relay Chat, started talking to the guys, really liked their philosophy in life, really liked the concept of learn through doing and then share with others, learn from others' experience, and do it yourself. You know, basically better yourself as a person, better yourself as a human being, and better the people around you. Try and give to the people around you, that sort of thing. So I really got into that ideal, and I've gotten to know these guys really well, and they're a bunch of really great guys that I like a great deal. And I've never met them physically. I've never actually met more than just a few of the Rangers around me physically. There's not many of us here in the States. There's not many of us in the world. I don't believe there's ever been more than about 10 in together ever. But, you know, if you've got folks like that, it doesn't hurt to also have in your phone some of your online contacts. In case of emergency, email this person. Because sometimes that extended friendship system is also an incredibly important thing to contact. I know it doesn't actually necessarily connect to your, you know, watching over your house and stuff. But this is where it starts to get connected. If you're going to be away for a while, and if you're one of the people that leave your computer on all the time, you might set up your webcam facing through your house, just wherever. You know, maybe down the hallway toward your bedroom door or what have you, and leave it broadcasting. One, if you've got a laptop or an iPhone or something like that, or a Android phone, and you're away from home, you can check in on it and see, yep, it's still up. Now, granted, sometimes the system will go down, power goes out, your router resets, any number of possibilities, you might lose your feed. But if your buddies know that you're going to be gone, they can occasionally check in, and if they see, you know, if they see 12 guys in ski masks in there moving your furniture, they call you and go, hey, by the way, did you order a moving company to move all your stuff out? No? You might want to call the police department back home. They're going to want to talk to these guys. Things like that are really handy. You know, that extended communication system is another good protection system. Oh, excuse me. Iced tea. Good stuff. Bad for you, but good stuff. One of the things that my next door neighbor does is when he's going to be away on vacation, he'll come over and tell all the folks around that he's going to be gone, and the only car he expects is, say, his son to come check on the house and that sort of thing. And he does all the classic things. He puts his lights on timers, so and it's a 7-day timer, so they're random, they're kind of different, and things like that. But if we see something, you know, I happen to look out the window and see a car over there that doesn't look like it should be there, go over and knock on the door, you know, it's a friendly, hey, I'm just coming over to see if I could borrow, you know, a cup of sugar or what have you. I've got my cell phone in my pocket, and I've, you know, in many cases I've already got 9-1 dialed. You know, my finger's sitting over that last button waiting. And if something seems really wrong, I'll hit the button and leave the comm channel open because the dispatcher will be listening. You know, that way if I happen to get into a situation where a bunch of idiots decide to jump me, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be able to track where the phone is at, because the phones generally identify where they are when you dial 911. And, you know, hopefully somebody will come out and save my dumb butt. So, any rate, that's it for this, well, that's mostly it for this show. I can still make up a whole bunch more stuff. As you've noticed, I can yammer on. Irish and American Indian, what a great combination for storytelling and not ever getting to the point. But I've only got a few minutes left, so we're going to wrap this episode up here before I run into the end of this. I want to thank Osprey for having us. Great network, a lot of great shows. Check it out. If you haven't listened to Rant Radio, there's a number of new shows up there, too. Check out the schedule there. That's rantmedia.ca. I can't for the life remember Osprey's right now, and I don't have it up in front of me. And if I hit the button, it's going to crash. Let me look real quick. I'll pause here. There it is. OspreyNet.info. OspreyNet.info. Thanks for both of them to having us, or for having us. If you get a chance, check out our site. That's r4nger5.com. If you get on there, there's a link to our IRC chat room if you want to jump in and meet some of the guys. It might take a while. If you jump in the chat room, it could literally be 4 or 5 hours. A lot of us just sort of stay on there all the time. We're sleeping in our chairs, staring at the ceiling, what have you. We could be outside running around in the woods. It's hard to say, so you might have to stay a while and to actually catch somebody. But folks are out there quite a bit. Feel free to drop in and give us some feedback. If you get a chance, jump online, do some research on this kind of stuff. There's all kinds of folks out there. A lot of them are trying to sell you something. You know, always follow the money. If they're showing you how to do it yourself, particularly for no money, little money, if they're basically showing, here's how to do it, but you don't necessarily have to buy this specific brand, probably a little more trustworthy than something that says you must buy, you know, fly-by-night lock company stuff. The club for houses, the club for cars, you know, the whole nine yards. If they're trying to sell you something, they may not be giving you necessarily the best information out there. Kind of like those alarm system companies. You know, a lot of the alarm system companies kind of are a iffy thing for me. You know, I know some people like them. It's a nice peace of mind thing. I know there's some home systems that you can get that will basically email you directly at your portable device, your phone, your iPad, what have you. There's a number of different ways. Do your research. Don't take my word for it, you know, because, well, I'm just a crazy old blacksmith that doesn't know any better. At any rate, I'm going to close here with Pour on Beta. I want to thank Sumerian for giving me permission to use this. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for your time. Have a great day. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your friends. Take care of your folks around you, your neighbors, everybody else. Get out there and see what you can do in the world to make the world a better place.